Welcome to another episode of Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and the Corbett Report. CorbettReport.com. You know, I'm all caught up on your videos and so on, and the first thing I wanted to talk about was the election, what you thought was going Are you paying attention at all? There is some good stuff, though. I mean, you know, it's they're bad. They're so bad. But I tell you, the big thing has been the lack of media coverage of anything. My daughter and one of my sons, my oldest daughter and my oldest son, and I have another son and daughter, and they're all kind of, you know, Trump. But they went in a 95-mile-long loop around the valley that was full of trucks doing the flag thing. Not a single word in the media. I mean, you know, whether you're for or against, that's not even the point. It was just so amazing that they just didn't say anything. And I was going to put up a story or something. The only thing I saw was some NFL football player did a Facebook of giving everybody the finger as he went by. See, the NFL players are, I'm going, wow, that's the story? Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So, you know, as we always come back to, this fundamentally is all about manipulation of public opinion, because that is what changes society. And this is in your face. Look, they are showing you that they are actively trying to manipulate public opinion by, this is news, this is not. And we've known it forever, but hopefully joke you normie will kind of pick up on it.
Yeah, this is, I'm looking at what's going to be after. Today I had on the show, I wanted to talk to two guys, especially we had Tim Pichot on, we're talking about economics. But it was Sheriff Richard Mack, because it was a county thing. It was all about the county sheriff, the county. As I'm traveling the country, I'm seeing that regardless of what happens from the governor's office or the Supreme Court in Michigan rules against them, whatever, they still got some county bureaucrat coming around with a shiny badge and a clipboard and telling you what to do. And I'm going, and I saw this happen in the mid-90s after they did the environmental thing, got going with Rio and, you know, Kyoto and all that stuff. And they tried to do in Phoenix a thing called regional government. And when I went back to get the actual text, because they started this smart city thing, because I wanted to see how close it, you know, it's the same kind of thing. They're doing this sustainable development, regional. We got all kinds of bureaucrats at the county level. They stricken the record that election even happened. You couldn't find it anywhere. And I'm going, what? So I paid a friend of mine $200. I said, man, it's worth $200 because I don't have time. Go find it. He found it in the archive of a library in Mesa, Arizona, the text. So we PDF'd it and everything and sent it to everybody. Now, Patrick Wood from technocracy.news, you know, this is, you know, right up his alley. So he and I did a joint presentation on what they are, how they're going to fund this. And they have this PDF of, this is how you can rip them off with every little freaking fee of something. You know, no worries. We can make all kinds of money on this. And I'm just like, wow. Well, then we have Michael Crow, which is, I think that's his name. He's the head of Arizona State University and all Q intel'd up, man. I mean, you know, it's they, them, those. So when I see there's no media coverage of that aspect of it, other than the support, you need more rulers. And anybody that's in resistance to it, nothing. Trump did do an executive order, and I had Sheriff Mack on to talk about activism at the county level and the power of, you know, the elected sheriff, the highest ranking law enforcement. This became a big thing with the Free County Project in Arizona, Navajo County there, and they came up against the machine. You know, they said, whoa, what the heck was that? And then I had John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute on talking about several things, and a lot of it's overlapping into the same thing. It's kind of what your episode was, your second to last one, about where do you go? And I'm going, you know, I don't think there's anywhere to go. You know, it's gonna they put you in a tiger in the corner. There's gonna have to be a fight. So I'm very curious as to what, how you think that's gonna unravel globally. The U.S., Canada, Australia is now having legislation to allow foreign troops to come in and quell dissent. UN stuff. I mean, it's amazing. So give me all your Corbett perspective on all this, man.
There's too much. I mean, give me a specific question and I'll rattle off
Well, you know, Australia, that's an interesting one. They're opening it up to where they want to have foreign troops, you know, United Nations, United somebody, you know, come in, explain it to them or something. I wouldn't think that the Australian people would put up with that, but it's a vast country with some population, you know, centers that are concentrated in population, but they have, like, I don't know, half the population of California or something. I mean, it's not that much, but it's enormous resources. They definitely want them some Australia. So what do you think, you know, Australian people are going to go, okay, and what mask do I wear, or will there be a rebellion?
Yeah. Increasingly, yes. There's very little out of Australia that surprises me right now. And I have seen the headlines about this defense legislation amendment that got passed, question mark? Anyway, I saw it when it was being debated. I haven't seen the final legislation. But anyway, yeah, basically foreign police, foreign military allowed to operate in Australia during declared emergencies, of course, like a scandemic. But yeah, will the Australian people put up with it? I'm increasingly thinking yes. The most amazing part of it is I certainly have heard from people in Victoria right now talking about what's going on there and obviously realizing the horrors of it. But I've also heard from a couple of people who are like, no, you've got it all wrong, James. They've helped protect us. And look, Victoria's doing so much better than all these other places because we don't have so many cases. I don't so? Like these... I expect to hear that from the average person on the street at this point. Maybe I have lowered expectations, but that is kind of what I expect. But people in my audience, people who literally are like, yeah, I watch all your stuff. I really appreciate your information, but you've got it wrong on this. Like, I don't even know how to begin communicating with that. But yeah, I think a lot of the Australian public is behind this. And some of those people have even told me, you know, I think this Dan Andrews, he's probably going to be the next prime minister of Australia. He's so popular here.
So who's Dan Andrews? Do you know more than me?
He is the premier. Do they call him premier of Victoria? The governor, essentially.
Well, yeah, Victoria is
doing the worst lockdown.
Right. That, you know, we just came from Michigan. You know, we're in where the heck are we? Minnesota. You know, we're in Minnesota right now on our way to Washington State, and driving across the country. I'm telling you, I can count on one hand anything I saw that said Biden on it, but it is thick with Trump. And I'm just, I don't trust the system. I don't trust because they were doing it at the county level for most of my adult activist life, 25 years plus that I know of. And I know how they do it. It's the county elections department. It's how they, you know, and then they just got a decision, Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, that they're not allowed to discard ballots where their signatures don't match. And I'm going, then why the hell even have it? I mean, you know what? So this is...
what's the point?
Right. I don't know. What do you think, just from... Because I've been driving, man. We've been doing the show, and I do a little bit, see the headlines and so on. I haven't been paying as much attention, but it seems to me that they're setting us up for Biden just going to take it, and we're going to wait a week and 2 weeks or a month for them to count it, and it's his,
yeah, no,
and then what?
That's 100% my impression, because, look, I'm not following this at all, but I obviously see all the headlines and stuff, and the impression, 100% the impression in the media is it's a Biden landslide. No question about it, no doubt. Trump is a 2% chance of winning. I think, what is it, 538 is calling a 13% chance or something for Trump or whatever.
What is 538? I keep hearing
they were the ones
that
said, like, 1% chance last time, right? So
so who is 538?
Take it for what it's worth. But, yeah, no, the impression, 100% the impression they're throwing out there right now is it's Biden landslide, no question about it. And so they are, I'm sure, I mean, we know, they've wargamed this out. They've got all these different scenarios. They're going to take it either through the legislature or through the courts. I mean, it's going to happen in some way. They're just
people don't get to have a say. When you say 538, or I hear that a lot, who are these people? What does that even mean?
They're affiliated with the New York Times, right? It's Nate Silver, I think is his name. Let me look it up while we're talking, because I don't want to talk out my rear end. website that focuses on opinion poll, analysis, politics, economics, and sports blogging. A website which takes its name from the number of electors in the U.S. Electoral College, founded in March 2008 as a polling aggregation website by Nate Silver. In August 2010, the blog became a licensed feature of the New York Times Online. Anyway, It's the one everyone turns to because they always get it right, except for when they get it wrong.
I want a licensed feature. I'm not even sure what that means. But, you know, it's New York Times, so it's obviously... I don't know. Since I've been doing Freedom's Phoenix, and it's been literally hundreds of thousands of articles over 15 years that you put up and you go through this stuff, New York Times doesn't have any credibility with me. I mean, it is a propaganda rag big time. And I remember in the 90s, Vince Cernowitz is, a popular libertarian. It used to be one of the editors at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And he wrote an article that we published in our party newspaper, the Arizona Libertarian. We used to do a newspaper. And it was how the news is done. And he says, I'll tell you exactly how it's done. Whatever is the front page of the New York Times better be on your front page of whatever the heck it is. It's a newspaper or record or whatever. If they had something local like potholes in the city or something, okay, well, I guess we get to do something local. And if you had a big story and you didn't run it, hey, how come you didn't run the New York Times front head top of the fold of blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, wow, that much power. Then you get USA Today, Gannett buys it, and then the conglomerate. I don't even care anymore. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all the same, they, them, those that are on all the board of directors. But when they buy a newspaper or a magazine or Newsweek got, bought for a dollar, by some congresswoman's rich husband. And the reason is just so they have the space. It's just marketing. It's at the newsstands in the airport. It's, getting CNN on whatever the heck. It's so manipulated. And I don't think people realized how much until now. I do think that there is an opportunity, going into the, because everybody's going, well, this election is the most, I'm going, no, it's not. I think it's the most important that it woke up a lot of people. But then what?
And for the sake of the non-Americans in the crowd, there's a lot of stuff that's happening right now. There's a great picture that's floating around on social media right now of when they were rolling out the new National Health app in England, I guess. And they show the newsstand. Literally every single newspaper has the exact same illustration of a hand holding the new, health app kind of thing or whatever. And they just have different colors. I mean, clearly they coordinated to have this, we'll all have the same cover today kind of thing. Every single newspaper. And you see the newsstand and every single one has just a different color of the illustration. It's just, there it is in your face. They're not hiding it. This is coordinated propaganda.
Okay, so, and as much as you've talked about, your propaganda reports and so on, and you do, I'm going, to what end? At the election night, how do you think it's going to roll out? I mean, are they going to...
Yeah, you know what? I'm not making any predictions because there are so many different ways this could play out, and I think the only question is, what would be best for the would-be controllers? Perhaps the best result, if you wanted to cause, if you really want to pull the plunger and collapse the U.S., you have a Trump win, contested, of course, that leads to escalating riots and violence, right? That would be kind of the nightmare scenario of the complete collapse of American society as we've known it. If Biden just clears out wins in a landslide like people are projecting, I don't know. I'm not thinking that the Trump supporters are going to start burning things down and rioting in the streets. It could be, but that seems more like that's the controlled left.
No, they're going to leave the urban areas and we're going to get Trump TV. There's going to be some Trump media thing. I just know it. It's going to be a Twitter clone. It's going to be it's going to be a mass exit. Oh, you'll dig this. This morning, I get up and I'm going, isn't there the World Series on or something? So Donna comes in. She has it. Yeah. The Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay. I didn't even know who the hell was in it. But I did see the headline that the first one, had really low ratings, and I just kind of blew it off. I guess it went to six games or five, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So they had last year it was, they said it was 40 million people watching peak, and now it's down to 8. So, I mean, they lost money. Bank. The networks are not getting, because they get paid on their ratings. So then the NFL's doing their thing, and I don't even pay attention. I don't care. The NBA is, they're going to, scrape off the Black Lives Matter for next year. At least they said that. But now they're back in China. they did a year of whatever penance. So now they went and kissed some butt and, you know, selling more Nikes or whatever. So here we have professional sports teams, and everybody's, you know, this is what I think, so therefore everybody should think that. And I'm going, shut up and act, shut up and play, shut up and whatever, you know, hell, just shut up. I mean, you know, I don't even care anymore. So then we got a whole slew of movies coming out, and I knew sooner or later they're just going to say, screw it, and we got a nice home theater thing with a surround sound of I can pause and go to the bathroom and bite me, okay? Well, what happens? James Bond is thinking they're going to stream and not wait till Easter to release. And I'm going, it's over. And who bought Hollywood? China. So I see so many different things that are going to change, but I'm not sure if they're always for the next election. They don't think in, you know, long, you know, terms of time. It's always, you know,
well. Certain aspects, certain portions of the day, then those, yeah. But certain others, no. They play the long game.
Yeah, no. There's a long game going on, but it's always you understand what I mean, though. I mean, I don't think they.
Well, here's
can't
the thing. I know
what
exactly
happens.
What you mean. And the problem is that, again, we tend to think of this as a one monolithic conspiracy. There is a they, them, those that is a coordinated group that all function and act in the same way. It is not. It is much messier than that. There are different power centers. There are different people vying for different things. And there is that level. That's the thing about the 3D chess game that I wish people would understand a little bit better. There is a 2D chess game, and there are players playing that 2D chess, and they really are invested in that 2D chess game. They just don't know about the 3D aspect of it, or maybe that's above their pay grade or whatever, so they don't see what's going on, you know, above them. But there really are the 2D chess players, and that's where I put all the political puppets. Yeah, they are concerned about the next election, yeah. And they are playing that game,
and they sacrifice
they know about
pawns
the, you know,
left and right
form or whatever.
Yeah, they're sacrificing pawns left and right. You know, one
exactly.
thing that I you know, word picture I put in the audience's mind, I go, you know, being an activist and dealing with these guys, it seems like I'm playing chess with a 3-year-old. You know, I mean, it's so easy. I go, God, man, they're not thinking, because there is a 3, there's something else going on. And I'm going, but what you realize is at some point, the 3-year-old stands up on his chair, knocks all the pieces on the floor, and pumps 345 slugs in your chest. I mean, you know, seriously, you know, that's their mindset. And the only reason I've been able to avoid a lot of the repercussions of a lot of stuff that we do has been that I never went after them by name. You know, I didn't, you know, like this guy, because it didn't matter. They got 15 gazillion guys right behind them, you know, sociopath number 483. I mean, it doesn't matter. So I'm going, you know, it's the issues, it's the principle, and that's where I think we've gained a lot of ground. There's a big opportunity from a lot of the work that all of us in the Liberty community has done for them to have the truth, which is why they censor. I just got a notice today. Derek Bros got YouTube wiped off.
Yep.
You know, so this is, I mean, it's all of them.
It's happening. You know what? You know what concerns me even more than the censorship from the YouTubes and that kind of platform?
Does anybody care?
In terms of growing the Liberty Movement? It is the Liberty Movement itself and the people in it who will not absolutely refuse to look at the 3D. No, everything is 2D. If you talk about 3D, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, no, we won't go there. No. I mean, yes, everything they've told us about the scamdemic is horribly wrong, and they're doing the most terrible power grab in our living memory. But it's just an accident. And if we just explain, oh, no, the statistics are wrong here. No, these models are a bit off. Don't you understand? People who refuse to look at the fact that this is an agenda and that there are powerful interests that are making this happen are the ones who are self-censoring. I have to believe it is self-censorship at this point.
Oh, no, no, no. It's obvious. We just left, it was last week when we had Luke on. You know, we were, you know, did a thing. And, you know, Luke is, he's even though he's been demonetized, he don't want to be deplatformed on YouTube. So he doesn't use certain words. No, you can't talk about that. You can't say that. You can't. I'm going, he always calls it the
Yeah. You know, that's a whole other issue, and I also detest that. I'm not going to self-censor or stop saying certain words. I get why people do it, because it's all algorithmic, but let it come. Let it come. Say the words. If you're going to start censoring yourself.
Say it!
Yeah. Exactly. But at least Luke knows there is a power structure, and he knows about things like that. I'm talking about the, you know, the mainstream kind of libertarians who will never say, oh, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. I would never say that.
Yeah, I don't classify them in the same category. You know, I've been dealing with the National Libertarian Party for a long time. And in Arizona, we were always fighting them.
Even the Mises wing. Let's call out all of those spineless Mises wing people who are so radical. And, oh, let's tear up the 3x5 card of acceptable opinion. But, oh, let's never mention a possibility that this is an agenda.
Really? You know,
yes.
I haven't. You know, see if
name
Tom,
anyone
Tom Woods
in, involved with that who is actually speaking about this.
Bob Murphy,
Pete
Tom
Quinones
Woods, Pincella,
is out there speaking about it.
On.
But other than that, I can't think of any of the mainstream Mises libertarians who are talking about this in any meaningful way.
You know, I haven't really paid attention. I mean, we talked to Tom Woods and Bob Murphy and Stephen Kinsella.
Will never ever mention this, by the way.
And well, he's going to have to not respond. I mean, he comes on. I'm going to go, okay. Well, what is your non-response to, you know, and...
Seriously, put him on the record. Ask him about the Great Reset. Ask him about the World Economic Forum. Ask him about the coordinated agenda. Ask him whether he thinks it's all just a big mistake. Fauci and others are just making mistake after mistake for no particular reason.
Where are you
reason.
Hearing this? Are they saying that or just refusing to
no,
talk about it?
No, they are not saying it. That's exactly the point. Yeah, sure. Woods will talk about the, you know, the masks and or the lockdowns and things. Great. But he will not ever mention anything to do with any actual agenda behind this. He'll never mention the Great Reset or what's actually at stake here. The changeover in the world monetary paradigm, the absolutely essential ground level of what's going on here. It's all just, oh, we just have to talk about the statistics some more.
Well, what do you think is the main hub center of their power? You know, we had the World Health Organization that was, you know, bought and paid for. But, you know, Trump defunds them a little bit. He outs them. They lose a lot of credibility. So, oh, I guess we win then. Well, you know, they just go to somewhere else for something else for something. You know, but
yeah, that's exactly the point. There is no hub center in terms of an institution that cannot be sacrificed if need be. They will tend to congregate around this or around that. But
what about the United Nations? What about the United Nations? They want to keep that one around.
They want to keep it, but honestly, I think that eventually they do want to destroy it to bring in the next level of, you know, the super United Nations or whatever. It is a pawn that can be sacrificed as well. It's not the institution
you know,
itself that matters. It's
that may
idea.
Be what Australia builds up to. And these they have the cities, too. They call them strong cities or something. I was talking, I think it was John Whitehead said something about it. I had it written down on a piece of paper. He goes, Strong Cities Network, yeah. Strong Cities Network, which is, you know, them putting forth, it's like they want things to go into chaos so they can call in the UN, maybe a little Chinese troops there in the UN, you know, like a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So I'm
well, yeah, think about it. World War I, League of Nations. World War II, United Nations. World War III, the End of Nations. I don't know, whatever they come up with after that.
Yeah, the end of, you know, it would be called something like the New World Order or something.
yeah, maybe, right?
Well, I mean,
yeah,
might
at
as well
some
be.
Point they will just call it. They won't even pretend. But right now they're putting, you know, it's the Great Reset, guys. This is a totally new idea that we've just come up.
The idea is, this is one thing I couldn't understand for a long time until just the last couple of years, that to what end? And it's the evil, you know, the sociopathic, you know, psychopathic, I don't have any empathy because I can, and it gives me power to sacrifice, to torture, to burn, to take, to kill, to war, to whatever, and it serves the you know, the Antichrist of the whatever the hell. I mean, it's really that dark. You know, the more you look at it, it's like a religion with these people. You know, it's to perpetuate something else. It's not like it's more money. It's more, I don't know, bigger orgasms or something. I don't know what the hell they're going for, but it's definitely a thing. And the only counter to it is an informed I guess, outraged, righteous indignation or something. I mean, there has to be. I put it this way. I don't know if I told you my fly thing. I told you my fly story. Oh, I got to tell you my fly story. When, you know, it started getting colder, all of a sudden the flies come in. You know, and you got to, like, you know, chase them all down. And there'll be, before the show, there'll be that one fly. You know, and it's just bugging the crap out of me. Oh, it's got to die, man. During the break, it's done. I'm ordering a bug of salt. You know, it's got like a pump thing with salt you put in, and ooh, I'm gonna get some. I thought I ordered it, and it didn't come, so I got to order it again. So this is what I'm thinking. As I'm laying on the couch watching, you know, baseball to fall asleep on Sunday or something like that, you know, and you're just relaxing or watching a movie and having a beer, and you're just chilling, and you know what, your hard work earned you a time of, I'm just freaking, leave me alone. And then the fly comes. And it buzzes you, and it bugs you, and you swat it away, and you go like this. And after a while, it's finally, you know, you set down your beer, you stand up, and you're not sitting back down until there's a dead fly. The fly's got to die. You go in and you find, you'll smack, and you there, boom, then I can rest in peace. I think that's kind of what's building up in America and around the world, is that people are finally going to start to realize that they're harassing them and eating out their substance. And it's at some point, you have to make it stop or move or leave or disassociate or something. And your last episode, a couple episodes ago, you were talking about somebody had contacted you and said, all right, well, where do you want to go? And I'm thinking the same thing. I'm going, you know, I mean, at some point you just got to turn around, stand your ground, and, you know, no further. And then, you know, do you do it as a militia, as a group, as an, no, and I shy away from that. In New Hampshire, there's a special forces guy that been doing this for a while called Gun Church, gunchurch.org. And I go, why do you call it Gun Church? Because every other Sunday they'll have practicing, do different, you know, drills and, you know, teach different things. And he goes, because you got to practice religiously. And I go, okay. So then Luke has done 3 events with him, you know, that they, you know, like, you know, kill a chicken and dress it out and do, and then spend that overnight, or, you know, they do some shooting, and they got archery and knives, and, you know, they're just, you know, training. And my influence on it, I was saying, look, man, don't do this building militia thing. You're training every individual to be their own. Weren't you Green Beret? You're a force multiplier. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're not going to make a militia. You just make everybody their lone wolf militia of whatever the hell, and peace be upon them. They go do what they do. That's what America used to be. In fact, here in America, they have what they call a marksmanship training thing. If you complete it, you got to get an M1 Garand, a .30-06 M1 Garand from the stores of the U.S. government. That was a big thing in the 90s. I remember a bunch of guys doing that. Well, I got mine. Woohoo! You know, and I went, yeah, on the list. But, you know, it was a different culture. Then I find out, I remembered watching a Tom Clancy movie, I don't know, one of them. And he goes, you're in the CIA. He's not going along with the program, some conspiracy they do. You're such a Boy Scout. You hear that a lot. You don't hear it anymore. But it used to be that the Boy Scouts were, you know, a religious kind of organization, you know, God and country kind of thing, you know, and I, you know, promise to do my duty, and, you know, all, and you get all your merit badges and you become an Eagle Scout. I had L. Neil Smith on. He was an Eagle Scout. All these guys, Eagle Scouts. By the time you go through this, I did the Cub Scout thing for a while. You know, by the time you go and after you do your soapbox, you know, your little, you know, Pinewood Derby or whatever, you know, you're learning a lot of these skills. That was man camp. That was the confidence that gave you against the fear of the unknown, and that you had confidence. Well, now we see Jay doing, you know, man camp, and woo man camp. He's just a man with a womb. And then you have Gun Church and all, to give confidence to individuals. That has been beaten out of us, to where that kind of train. And what did they do? Here comes all the pedophiles. You know, here comes the, you got to have gay scout leaders. You got to, I mean, it was an attack. And I'm going, wow. So then they did Awana. Awana was kind of a religious thing that was done at the churches. And, you know, so I can see it's like a, if you were to take over a country, you have to go at the morality of the country. And that's one thing that was talked about in Greece and Rome and everything, you know, the decadence and all. You wonder which came first, you know, that or the economics. It's certainly a sign. So I'm seeing that, you know, the churches are waxing and waning just like, you know, professional sports. It, people, these institutions, government, media, you know, everything, people are going to have to start seeing to themselves and their family and learning and watching Corbett videos.
One would hope, huh? Yeah, you're right. Here's the thing that I really want people to wrap their minds around. They can take away your physical freedom by whatever, you know, boots on the face, tyranny, but they can never take away you being a free, sovereign, individual human being if you declare your independence. Where have I heard that before? It is a declaration that you make mentally, you make as a commitment, as an oath to yourself, to your family, whatever. I am a free human being. They can never take that away from you. Only you can take that away from yourself. And that's why I think, yeah, if you just keep moving, okay, all right, guys, I'll move over here. Don't bother me over here. If you just keep moving away and running away from the problem, then essentially you're saying I'm not a free human being. They will dictate to me what I do, as opposed to me taking control of my life. And that's the fundamental difference. Now, I don't want to make that as a blanket accusation, because I think for some people, maybe, I don't know your individual circumstances, maybe for you, actually moving away is the best thing for you. I don't know that. But if you're only making that decision because you just want to be left alone, I'll go over here, I'll go over there, whatever you tell me to do, then you are not in control of your life, and you're actively ceding that control to someone else.
You know, I remember they're doing a lot of, there's always the threat of gun confiscation, you know, they in various different forms. They'll pass some law, they'll do something. And I go, you know, where's my line? And I go, door-to-door gun confiscation, door-to-door take my kids for some war. I mean, you know, you want to bring it on, you know, here we go. Well, when they come for your guns, Ernie, you're going to give them to them just like everybody else does. Absolutely. All the ones they know about. I mean, like, you know, yep, and this one, oh, okay, it's on. I'm not going to fight them on their schedule right there at my front door with that. You know, I got creativity, man. I will get some. So I'm just, and I think a lot of Americans that I've met off the freeway, out of the urban areas across the country, when you go into these areas, and I tell you where they are, it's all the places that, you know, men are, that, you know, the welders, you know, the people that, you know, farm, the ranchers, the people that grow food, the people that fix things, the people that make society really work, while when something happens, they're going, you know, got a finger in their nose going, it's $600 to change brake pads? Okay, I mean, you know, what am I going to do? And it's so obvious to me that there's going to be a culling. There's going to be some people do fine, some people don't do fine, and it's going to be, you know, work itself out in the end. I don't think that these brown shirts, the Antifa, the rioters, the whatever the heck, they're just brown shirts to Hitler. I mean, you know, it's the same kind of thing. When this is over, they're the first ones to be sacrificed. I don't think they see it. You know, they're going to, what good are you? You're going to, well, give me my free stuff. From what? From who? I don't know what they're thinking or if they are thinking.
I'm sure they are thinking. They are just thinking incorrectly. And yes, people who are in the service of a belligerent force that is trying to take over a nation, let alone the world, would be best served by knowing a little bit about history and Operation Hummingbird, aka the Night of the Long Knives, where Hitler, with Goering and Himmler by his side, did commit the execution of a large number of the Ernst Röhm-led brown shirts. You're exactly right. They were the expendable goose-stepping, you know, they'll do the dirty work, basically, to make sure that the Nazis get in power. Once they're in power, we don't need you guys anymore.
Well, were Bye-bye. They a threat? Did they, you know, like, yeah, we got them. We took care of these bad guys. Support us now or something. Was there some, you know, method to it for them taking them out? I mean,
I think it's honestly, like, every dictator does this, or at least every dictator that survives long enough, including Stalin and everyone else. They end up realizing that the people who help you get into power and the people who help you maintain that power are your biggest threat. It's not the average person on the street that's going to be the most likely to get you. It's going to be someone who's closer to you and closer to power and actually has that has flexed that muscle and know that they have the ability to do things by committing violence. Well, they're going to turn that against me. I better get them.
Yeah, I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm going to be General What's-His-Name, and I'll be in charge of something.
Exactly, yeah. Know? And it turns into a blood sport, as it always will, which is good for the person at the bottom.
You know, we were
let them war it out, right?
In Maine, they had homes that they value at, like, I don't know, $150,000 that they go, yeah, no, it's a hot market. Put up for $300, then it got bid up to $360. I mean, people are exiting the urban areas and are just, get me a house out of this freaking crap. And it, you see it everywhere. You even in the news, they're going, look, man, you know, the home sales are freaking going through. There's no new home building, you know, a lot of them, because they want land. They don't want a subdivision McMansion. They want to get a couple of acres of I Got a Pig. So this is, I think America, you know, the American heritage, the America that I grew up in kind of, you know, was propagandized with, you know, is still there. You know, there's people that, but they're up against something, and it's at the county level. This is why I've been focused. I'm going, I can see it. You know, I saw it. I didn't recognize it for it just being stupid, but it was like you say, it was a long-term plan, and they were not, you can vote for whoever the hell you want, but we're getting the guys in charge of the bureaucracy.
Yeah. And the people who are paying for them, more importantly. Yeah, you know the old Carlin thing about, you know, they call it the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it. Mm-hmm. At least they used to try to sell the public an American dream that was about building yourself up and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and individual and all that. Yeah, it was a dream, but at least it was a dream. But now they're trying to sell people the American nightmare, essentially. I mean, they're not even trying to put it in those terms anymore. No, it's you didn't build that kind of, you know, Obama lecture, which is the type of American dream nightmare that they're trying
yeah,
to
this
sell
is what I'm days. Thinking. Playing, you mentioned this. This is why how I'm thinking this is playing out. Whenever, you know, good hardcore libertarians would run, you know, and certainly myself, I would be like, you know, yeah, I'm not compromising. One, you know, like I'm going to win. Oh, if you don't say that, then you might win or you'll get more. You know, whatever. I'm talk to the hand, you know. And so if you win and you're articulate in the principles that you're supporting and what you're advocating, then you got the support. You know, then you have a likelihood of doing it. If you're going to, you know, sneak it in or something, but this is what I feel, you know, Biden, Kamala, and all the left and everything, they're going, oh, yeah, we're going to take your guns and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to, because we already know we won, you know. And then this is why we won, because we're going to rule you. And so I guess we're going to rule you. You voted for it. We said we were going to do it, and we're going to do it. That's what I'm afraid of. And a lot of people go, yeah, well, there's enough dumb people. And I keep saying they don't have to convince you. Because they can't convince you. I don't even think they can convince the majority of the American people. But what they can do is confuse you to think that all your neighbors are convinced. You know, the media said, I guess there's a bunch of stupid people out there. I don't believe it. I'm like, nah, I don't think they're that dumb. I mean, there's a lot of dumb, but they highlight them. It's just like when you go to a protest and here comes the TV crew. There'll be 400 people there and two guys wearing, you know, booty hats, you know, camo, you know, Vietnam hats. And, of course, that's where all the cameras go. And we used to play that game. They get them over there, and then we take it off. You know, I wouldn't do it, but some of the guys, they go, yeah, and then they get all prim and proper and everything. Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
No, put your hat back on.
Exactly. Use it against them. No, you're so right about that, and that's something I've noted for a long time. Like comedians, like stand-up comics making the, you know, dumb people kind of jokes. Oh, everyone's so stupid. And, you know, all you can think of a million. Carlin with the, think of, you know.
You're
think
a redneck
the
if. Dumbest,
think of the how dumb the average person is, and then think 50% of people are dumber than that. That kind of stuff. It's so, I mean, comedically, it's so lazy. It's such a boring, stupid, played-out, lazy joke. But it is also constantly drumming into people this anti-human, dehumanizing, everyone's stupid. Of course, I'm brilliant. I'm wonderful. I can judge people from a cloud. But everyone's stupid, and I don't like humanity. And they've really tried to inculcate that in the general public for a long time now, and unfortunately it may be working as society collapses and people start to see each other as the enemy.
Well, what's the after?
It's hard to counter that, though. It's hard to convince people, no, not everyone
don't
is
have
stupid.
To. Circumstances are going to do it. They're going to get, well, you know, yeah, there's no atheists in foxholes, man. I mean, you know, when it gets bad, they're going to go, damn, I thought, damn. I'm going, yeah. You know, so you got to be an ad to whatever community that you join or place you want to go survive or something. You're either an ad or you're in a subtraction. If you're not an ad to the community, if you're not bringing it, you're just another, you're a parasite. You're going, man, you chose your host, man. Go over there, you know. No. And that's what you want to be. You want to be an ad to whatever community. Then you'll be welcome, or you got some goodies or something. But this is, I don't see them having a home, and I think they're just going to be victims of the long knives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There's definitely going to be a lot of people sacrificed as they start to try to bring this about. It's just a question, you know, are they going to pull the trigger all the way, or are they going to abort, or, you know?
Well, they definitely want to do mandatory, you know, inoculations. I was happy to see, because I've been very critical of Trump going on about vaccines and everything, and we're going to have, and then he finally said that he wasn't going to mandate it. I don't ever see there being a mandate, not for me. I mean, blah, blah. And I'm going, okay. You know, at least he said that. But there was an executive order that he did. I sent to John Whitehead for him to go over because he'd understand it more. But Barrett, they asked her, it was Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris, that asked her, that's what I was told. Yeah, I think it was her. She asked her, what do you think about administrative law? And as I looked into it, and we did a show on it, and then Eric Schein, the guy that did it, went on with John Snizen and Tempachote on the same issue. And it was very interesting that administrative law kind of started with the Coast Guard, and it got a separate thing. And then Jay was saying, yep, it's perfectly constitutional because it gives you an out. The persons that they're talking about, this corporations and all this other stuff, is not the people. If you don't agree or get a license and you just sign every document that's put in front of you without saying rights reserved, which on my license I did that from the 90s. You know, that was a big thing back then. You can get out of this UCC, you're in the homeowners association because you totally agreed kind of deal, if you put rights reserved on the stuff. All right, rights reserved. I mean, you know, because, well, it got so bad that the attorney general did an opinion saying the motor vehicle department couldn't accept driver's license applications with that on anymore. So then, you know, when they did this off-track betting thing, I mean, you know, wherever the, you know, the satellite, you know, DMVs are, they don't give a crap, you know, so I just write on, you know, so I got a new license with it on there, ha, 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 ha. But I can see with the administrative law that when you opt in, that's how they got you. And when I had my restaurant, they came after me after 5 years in the restaurant, and we had just sold it, and they go, hey, you didn't sign your application, because I just sent in the check, you know, I didn't sign it, purposely, you know, and they were going to get me on something, and I go, You missed me by that much, you know. So it's just, if you know these things, it helps. But
no, you're right. I don't think they're going to go for the mandates, at least not in most of the Western liberal democratic countries. I don't think so. But they are going to go from a lot of different perspectives, not just administrative law, but the, you know, I mean, to travel, to work, to do whatever. You're going to need proof of a vaccination certificate. And Trump is... whatever he says, I mean, yeah, maybe he's not going to mandate it, but he is on board with the vaccine agenda. At any rate, it is happening under his administration. And if you need an example of that, I don't know if you're following the work at the Last American Vagabond crew, Ryan Christian, Derek Rose, Whitney Webb. They have this whole bunch of reporting on Operation Warp Speed, which is happening during the Trump administration. So whatever rhetoric he's saying, it's happening under his watch. And it is... I mean, look at the headlines. The head of Operation Warp Speed and the Gates Foundation are pushing bioelectronics and vaccine patches. Operation Warp Speed is using a CIA-linked contractor to keep COVID-19 vaccine contracts secret. Google and Oracle to monitor Americans who get Warp Speed's COVID-19 vaccines for up to 2 years. It's happening. So, I don't think they're going to mandate it that way. They're not going to shove it down your arm at the point of a gun. But they're going to push it.
You know, we have a supporter and an activist in Missouri that has his own business, and he's had some templates and stencils made to make signs. So he's been making a lot of signs. And I just found out that his wife refused to do the vaccine for work, so she can't work there anymore. And that was their main source of cash and income, you know. And it's just, you know, people are making these kinds of decisions. And you can't tell somebody what to do. I mean, you know, you got to put food on your family kind of deal. But You know, some if you know, you just no. I can't. I'll suffer through. So I don't know what recourse there are for these people, but it's. I've always been, you know, pretty much self-employed. You know, even when I worked for people, I felt self-employed. It was my labor. You want me, right? And I do a good job, right? Well, don't be a butthead, right? I mean, you know. So it's just an attitude that I think people have, and we tried to pass that on to our children and grandchildren. So I'm always been of the mind that I wanted my grandchildren to, as they become adults and start having families, that they're riding the phoenix out of the ashes, that we're going into a better future, a more abundant future, a freer future, and that the work that we're doing now is to help grease that, you know. And I don't want to die with regret on my bed if I could have something. I mean, for my grandkids. And I remember you saying something about that in your piece. You're going, yeah, if you leave, well, what are you leaving for your kids and grandkids and so on? I mean, you know, where's, well, sociopaths don't give a crap, you know, and this stuff that's coming out about Biden and Hunter and everything, we don't need to go over all, but I'm just, what would you expect? And of course they're not going to cover it. It's right before the election. They're going to get them some, but if he gets elected, it'll be so awesome. I mean, there will be some fun to be had. So
who gets elected?
Biden. Are you kidding me?
Oh, right.
That would be, I thought Hillary was going to get elected. I go, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? I was saying that with Bill Clinton. You know, so you get to a police state, it's not fun. You know, it's not going to be grins and giggles. So how do you think this is going to manifest if Biden is the guy getting inaugurated? I don't see a lot of difference. You know, the economy is going to go. The dollar is going to be crap. They're going to keep trying to do and consolidate everybody under everything, and we rule you.
I'll tell you the difference. The half of the population that thinks that everything's fine because we got Trump in charge and he's going to keep us safe will suddenly go, oh, my God, now someone else is in charge. Now we're in danger, and they'll get activated. And the half of the population that thinks that Trump is literally Hitler and, oh, we're all going to go to internment camps will go, oof, now we can go back to sleep. So we get to change the aisle again. Yay. Every 4 to 8 years. Yay.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, and that brings up the slavery animation that you did of Lark and Roses. I saw that, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. then I saw that you had done it. And that was, explain that to the audience so they know what we're talking about.
A little animation that Larkin Rose put out on his YouTube channel about 8 years ago now called The Jones Plantation. It has a few hundred thousand views, but it could use a few billion more. It's basically an allegory, a story of this slave owner who wants his, you know, things aren't going well for him. His slaves aren't working very hard. He's not making enough money. So he gets this consultant that other plantation owners have said, you know, this guy knows what he's doing. Trust him. And this consultant comes in and announces to the assembled slaves, you are now free men. You are free. You can leave anytime. You can do whatever you want. But obviously, we're going to continue the plantation, and we want you to stay here as free men working on this plantation and working towards the betterment of this community that you've grown up in.
Yeah, you don't want to go somewhere else because they'll enslave you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly right. So it's a beautiful story that shows exactly how you just change the label. Okay, you want to be free? Okay, you're free. Now, come work for us, and here's how it's going to work. And the same plantation owner is going to be in charge. We'll just call him a president. I mean, he's just running things for you, but he's doing it for your good. And you can all contribute your work for the common good, and you can all pay into the common pot, and you can get what you need from it. So it'll all be good. And you're free men now. And literally nothing changes except in the minds of the people who are enslaved. Well, now I'm a free man.
Yeah, but they got the
and
vote.
They continue to do exactly what they were doing. In fact, work even harder because they believe themselves to be free.
But they got the vote.
Well, yeah, that comes in later in the story, I presume. But
they eventually
get to vote.
Vote for his brother.
It'll be either, you know, plantation owner A or plantation owner B.
You know, so yeah. it was, you know, Larkin always does a good job of bringing it down to that kind of stuff. But that's where I didn't anticipate that. I still don't. I don't believe it. You know, I know there's people like that. They just get amplified. It's like Facebook. They amplify these voices. And then you got some people over here, you know, outquitted against them that they'll amplify to have somebody to argue against and how bad they are because they're not woke or whatever. You know, and the vast majority of people are going, ah, screw it, man. I'm done. I'm not watching World Series anymore. I don't give a crap what this guy says. You know, I went on the news thing that Donna got for me, and you had, you know, like the final pitch or help, whatever they win, whatever it was. And you look in the dugout, there's guys wearing masks. I'm like, what? What? There was a school they had that they got like an hour of play or a break, play break, or outside, you know, they call them mass breaks, you know, or something. They go out. And it was in New Hampshire, and I see these little kids, and all the adults are wearing masks, the parents are wearing masks, little kids, a couple of kids wearing the mask, and they run around and so on. And I'm just, it's so sad, because I saw this after 9/11. When you go to the airport, and the TSA started, you know, coming into existence and everything, and I remember when I was traveling around in 07, you know, for the Levolution, and you have these young couple with a couple of little kids, and, oh, yeah, you put your stuff in this bin, and you let the nice man wand up your crotch and everything and feel around this and do that. And you know, I'm going, wow, it's indoctrination. It's a papers, please society, you know, with a gold star because I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
And Australia is begging for this Chinese...
That's the worst part about this, you're right, is the people who are now growing up in this and realizing they're going to be like the people who grew up, you know, post 9/11, who never knew any other life than the, you know, screening at the airport and all of that. And could there be another way? No, of course. This is just the way it is. And there's kids growing up today that will think this is normal. And you know what it is? You'll know this better than I will, but, you know, think back to the 90s or the 80s. There were people essentially doing what we're doing and trying to raise awareness, but they were very, very much on the fringe, and they self-published their own little newsletters that maybe they could get out to a few hundred people, and it was a tiny community comparatively. We have just lived through a couple of decades of a complete bursting of a bubble, or the creation of a bubble, however you want to look at it, of unreality in terms of the status quo is the fringes. They'll keep you on the fringe. They won't let you communicate. Suddenly we have this flowering and everyone's communicating. All this information gets out. Now they're putting a lid back on that, and it will go back to people on the fringe self-publishing their newsletters or the equivalent thereof.
Good.
It'll be people who are, you know, I mean, IPFS or whatever. It'll be a sliver of a percentage point of a fraction of the population that even knows that exists, let alone how to access it. But the ones who are committed and who care will do so. The rest of the population will be in their little bubble.
Did you ever read Isaiah's Job by Knock? Albert Knock, I think he was the guy that wrote it.
Nope.
Isaiah's Job. Now, look that up. Donna, look that up, Isaiah's Job, and send it to James, will you? You know, Isaiah's Job. Sure, it's on pretty soon. It was a philosophical libertarian, you know, anarchist, whatever, from 60, 70 years ago or something. And it was a popular article, and the point that he was making is God goes to the prophet Isaiah and says, I need you to, you know, do this and talk to these. I don't want to. Yeah, you have to. He runs to a mountain. God goes, what, you think you can run away from me? You got to go, nobody's listening. There were only a few people. He goes, yes. You got to preach to the choir. You got to preach to the remnant. That's where that came from, this remnant thing. So it's a remnant that is what, you know, seeds or perpetuates this in the future. And that's what I'm seeing now is this is the remnant was, you're right, it was very small. There was a lot. I mean, you know, I remember having Butler Schaefer on. He was talking back in the 60s during Murray Rothbard's apartment, you know, a Hellfire missile that took out the entire movement. I mean, you know, and he goes, but now it's just so much bigger. And since the Levolution and a lot of people understanding the philosophy, unfortunately, they don't think Libertarian Party when they think libertarian, you know. So I think more Dr. Paul or something. But I'm seeing that the remnant is much bigger this time, and it's global. And you have a lot to do with that. And I'm going, when they do internet, Starlink or whatever else does, and you have the next half, there's only 4 billion on the planet even have access to the internet. What happens when that doubles? You know, and the whole planet, I think that's what they're afraid of. The little AI algorithm looked and go, man, we gotta get everybody a vaccine really quick, you know? Yeah. We gotta dial them down. So that's so do you think the vaccine will become popularized? That's gonna be, if not mandated, the vast majority of people line up for it?
Yes, I think a lot of people will clamor for it. But then again, let's not... It's the exact same thing where, you know, the media is telling you it's Biden, 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 but then you go out and all you see is Trump stickers. It could be very much the same effect. So let's not get caught into that, being too pessimistic about that. And an interesting thing I saw in my own personal life here, reading Japan Today, getting up to date on what's happening here in Japan. The latest news, you know, they've ordered 120 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine because it's not even done yet, but whatever, we'll just pay you. How many billions of yen should we give you? Okay, here you go. And they're saying they've actually have passed or are passing legislation to make it free for any citizen that wants to get it. But A, I think that means it's not going to be mandated, at least not by the government. That's the way I'm reading it. It's going to be free, but they're not going to make you have it. Secondarily, I noticed even in the comment section at Japan Today, which is a pretty, I mean, most of the people there are pretty mainstream kind of Democrat, kind of American expats, essentially. But even they were like, this is an experimental vaccine. They're rushing through in record time for something that's not even killing many people. Why would I take this? No. And so there is going to be some resistance to this.
Well, I thought Japan was not big on vaccines.
Japan, yeah, no, they aren't. They certainly, the routine schedule here is about 1/10 of what it is in the U.S. right now. Maybe one.
Do they have liability? The pharmaceuticals have limited liability or liability, or how's that
part, work? Part of that legislation there, just for the amendment they're passing for this AstraZeneca vaccine thing, is granting what do you call that?
Limited liability, no liability.
Liability freeness to the big pharma so that they can't be held responsible. And that was what some of the commenters were picking up on. If this is so safe and effective, why are they giving liability protection to the big pharma producers, right?
This is why big oil conquered the world kind of stuff. You know, this is...
Yeah. The worst part about this is that I think, yeah, obviously right now we're concentrating on this COVID-19 vaccine scam, but the more insidious part of this is I don't have any reason to believe this is the one that's going to have the embedded microchip and whatever, but they are setting the groundwork, the infrastructure right now for what will presumably be the rest of our lives, the overriding narrative every time there's any sort of new sniffle. We need a new vaccine, new vaccine, new vaccine, new vaccine. And that they're trying to set the groundwork infrastructure for this so that they can roll it out and people will be trained to accept it.
Did you see the video clip of Melinda Gates sitting next to Bill saying, oh, we would never, that technology doesn't even exist. We would not chip anybody. It was a Forbes thing. You saw that?
Yeah, and didn't Bill like look at him like you're looking at her like?
Yeah, he's like, we're gonna, that one's gonna bite us, you know. Well, she doesn't know or shouldn't have said or something. And I'm going, damn man, that his expression was everything. And this is where I think we're going. There is no, and of course he's your new best doctor or something. I don't know where the hell that comes from. And Fauci's getting his, so he's, you know, getting slapped around in public opinion. But I don't know how else Trump would have played this trying to get reelected. I mean, it seems it's all about reelection. There's some focus group. He's Mr. Apprentice. He's the TV rating guy. He's the polling of something, 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 saying something. You know, after the debate, he doesn't put a mask on, but Melania comes up with a nice mask, you know. It's all a game, you know. I guess he's playing it, but I'm not digging it, you know. I want to have some principled, but what do you got to have? A billionaire? It was Ross Perot. Then it's, you know, Trump. Then it was, you know, I guess that's the only like billionaires that come in, except Bloomberg. What a joke that was, you know. So is it another billionaire is going to show pop up and go, okay, ta-ra-ta-ra, I'm going to, you know, go libertarian on you. You're gonna
can we at least agree that the solution is never going to be political?
It's going to be philosophical. That's my point. If somebody will use the opportunity, which is what I do all the time, I use the election cycle as a soapbox to do whatever, and I don't give a crap. I don't even vote. You know, they know. They don't even ask me that anymore. They know I got a can going to slap them around about it. And but it is an opportunity to educate people. And when this election is over, that's when Donna and I start. I mean, all our stuff is work up till, you know, the 3 months before an election that people are paying attention. We're starting now for next time. You know, is it, you know, to win something? Yeah, mines. How many mines can you free? You know, that's what you do. I just use the election cycle to do it because I can.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, well, we hit our hour. I know you're tight on the hour, man. You're always
slapping me around.
But Corbett, go ahead and give out your web pages and all your. What's your next project? I thought you were working on a big project coming up again. Oh, maybe that was the Gates one when we were talking. You had the big one coming out.
That was my last big one. CorbettReport.com. I am working on a report right now about bioterrorism as the new paradigm and the possibility for a bioterror false flag. So that's. I mean, there's too many things that need to be talked about right now. One of them is bioterror false flags, because I think the second wave may actually be something this time if they actually deliver on their promises.
Yeah. So you want real dead bodies? Okay, we'll give you dead bodies, you know.
Another issue I want to cover is the vaccines, the Operation Warp Speed nature of it, the, you know, that kind of thing, but also the longer term of what vaccines, because they're not even vaccines, they're injections of
RNA
and other things.
Yeah, they're changing you. They're becoming a chimera.
Exactly. I definitely want to cover that, and I want to cover specifically not just the Great Reset, but specifically the monetary reset, the CBDC. Central bank digital currencies, they are going to change the world monetary order in the next few years. Yeah. And I don't look forward to seeing how that happens, because generally that means world war, if not great widespread depression. So,
you know, I'm waiting. You know, we're there when you're doing the Corbett video on the alien invasion from Malthus and whatever the hell.
I've done it.
Really? An alien invasion?
How to fake an alien invasion. Look it up.
Right, let me write that down. How to fake, that's the name of it? How to fake an alien invasion?
I think that's the title. I have to look it up, but something like that. How to fake an alien invasion.
All right. I got homework. That'd be good. Because I go, that's not what I meant. Or I'll go, yeah, that's definitely what I meant. You know? Good job. The Corbett Report, CorbettReport.com. And I'm everybody that listens to this, anytime, if you haven't listened to us before, I'm a big fan, because it's a whole bunch of information that will get you caught up on what's really going on, so you can protect yourself, your family. And we probably have to look towards the future. Where are we going to position ourselves? What are we going to do? What are we going to take? How are you going to sustain yourself when you're not complying? Because it's all going to be a social credit score. You're a non-complier, so therefore you must starve and be beaten into submission, like the Constitution they did to Rhode Island to make them come in. I mean, you know, it's going to make you do it. So, are they? We'll find out. CorbettReport.com. Thanks, James. Peace, brother.